I'd like us to turn to the book of Hebrews tonight for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to break into the chapter, the words of verse 18. Hebrews chapter 12, and the words of verse 18, Apostle Paul writing these words to the believers. Verse 18, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and it burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Amen. Ending our reading at the end of the chapter. We know the Lord will add his own blessing upon the reading. We've entitled our message this evening, Listening to God. Let's just unite our hearts together in a word of prayer as we come to the preaching of His precious Word tonight. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We do thank Thee that Thou art yet calling souls unto Thyself, even in the gospel. Lord, we pray tonight that there be those who would hear and who would respond. We ask, Lord, there will be signs following the preaching of Thy Word. We recognize, Lord, when we pray such a prayer, that we cannot cause an anxious thought. Indeed, Lord, without Thee we can do nothing. And we know, Lord, that salvation is all of Thee. And we pray that Thou might reveal Thyself to those poor sinners tonight who up until this time have been deaf to Thy voice. O God, we pray in mercy Thou wouldst come again. Thou might speak. Thou might cause souls to hear, whereby they'll be born again of Thy Spirit. I pray, Lord, to that end, for the infilling of Thy Spirit, from that unction from above to be poured out upon us, that we might preach as thus, and thus saith the Lord. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Many are the contrasts that can be drawn between the Old Testament and that which is found in the New Testament. While in the Old Testament there is the shadow of things to come, in the giving of Christ there was the substance. And He is greater than the angels, and He is greater high priest, because He offered a greater sacrifice. And He is one who is a greater priesthood, for His is unchangeable. And you find all of those truths, all of those things, even in this book of the Hebrews. And that contrasting theme can be drawn between Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and Mount Calvary, where Christ, the one who was to fulfill the law of God perfectly on our behalf, was to lay down His life as that once for all sacrifice for sin. Mount Sinai was tangible. It was a place that was etched in the mind of the Jewish people down through the generations, and that for various reasons. It was the place, you remember, where Moses received the table of the law. It was also the place where Israel sinned against God as they committed idolatry in the foot of the mount by worshiping the golden calf. But Sinai was also a place of terrifying manifestations. You look at the words of verse 18 that we have read tonight. There was the burning fire. There was even the whirlwind and the darkness and the storm. Mount Sinai was a terrifying mountain, not least because it was there that the voice of God was heard audibly. And the people were terror-stricken. It was not an inviting place. But rather than look at Mount Sinai, the apostle here causes our gaze to be lifted higher, even unto the heavenly Jerusalem, even unto Mount Zion. And what you have from verse 22 through to 24 are seven things that are found in heaven itself. The heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God, the company of angels, the church of the firstborn, and God is there, and the Lord Jesus Christ is there, and the blood of sprinkling is there. How much we learn about the blood just in these few words. The Scriptures are the best commentary on themselves, for I read that Christ, by or with His own blood, entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for His people. The blood of Christ is incorruptible. It could never have wasted away as it was shed in Calvary, for as in the Old Testament, the blood had to be presented to make atonement for the sins of His people. And there's power in the blood to cleanse the vilest sinner clean. And from these words we also see that it is speaking blood. It speaks greater things than that of Abel. For the blood of Abel, it cries for vengeance. But the blood of Christ, it speaks peace and pardon to all of God's redeemed. But having spoken of those things, the apostle then sounds out a solemn charge which begs us to consider what it is to listen to God. My text tonight you'll find in verse 25. It says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." I want you to consider with me there the responsible duty. The opening word, "see," is rendered in other places, "take heed." Take heed that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Here's something that is of the utmost importance. And what are we to take heed to? It is that we don't refuse, that we don't despise, that we don't disregard, that we don't reject the one who is speaking. In other words, you ought to be listening, you ought to be heeding and hearing and yielding obedience to what he is saying. And the one in question is the Savior, the one promised even to the nation of Israel, as we find it in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And what words these are. In verse 18, that'll be easy to remember. Chapter 18 and verse 18. And God says through His servant, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." And you know those same words are brought out and spoken of by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 3 and the words of verse 22. For here we read, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And the same charge was what was heard from heaven oftentimes when the Father's voice was heard to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." This is a duty that is becoming of every soul under the sound of my voice tonight, whether you're saved or not. It is the very foundation stone of the gospel. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You will note that the words are not in the past tense, where it says that Christ hath spake, but they're in the present tense. It's Christ that speaketh. He's a living Savior tonight. He is God tonight. And God is yet speaking to the hearts and souls of men and women in this, his day of grace. Christ is still speaking through his word. He's still speaking by his spirit. He's still speaking by the instrumentality of his own commissioned servants, calling upon all who come under the sound of his voice to serve and to obey him. But you know, there are various ways in which souls will not own up to this responsible duty of hearing and heeding the voice of the Christ of God. You don't heed or you don't hear Christ if you neglect the private devotional time of meeting daily and diligently around his word through which he speaks. While God spake in times past through the prophets, that's how the book of Hebrews opens. God spake through his prophets. He has spoken in these last times through his Son. And Christ is revealed to us through the scriptures of truth. And men and women, I want to remind you tonight that this book is a living book. It's not a dead book. It's God's precious word. It's a speaking book. Open its pages and you will not hear or read of the philosophy of the world. You will not see and you'll not hear the opinions of men, but you will be confronted with truth and with the voice of God to your soul. No wonder then that Job could say that he considered the words of God's mouth more esteemed than his very necessary food. The psalmist feared lest the Lord would stop speaking unto him, and he became like one of them that went down to the pit. He considered his words sweeter than the honeycomb. Tell me, are you hearing God speak to you through his word? Because you're found every day in it, not just flicking over a few pages or a few verses to satisfy the conscience, but giving consideration to them, one who delights in the law of God. There's another way in which you can neglect this responsible duty, and it's not by attending the public means of grace. And you know, the apostle here has already touched upon the very fact of those who forsook the assembling together of themselves, as the manner of some is. You'll find it in chapter 10 of Hebrews. And for those who do, they're neglecting the place where God's word is read and that God's word is expounded and it's sought to be done in a faithful manner. Our desire would be to make a confession after the sort of the Apostle Paul, where he states in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17, listen to what he says to this church. He says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." And you see, there were those in the apostles' day, and they adulterated the word of God. In other words, they watered it down. And they were just like those sellers in the marketplace, particularly of the liquid. And they would water it down in its strength so as to glean a greater profit. And Paul says, we're not like those. God has blessed this land, and God has blessed, can I say it, the kingdom of Mourn, because doors have been opened to preach the whole counsel of God. And they opened these doors here 50 years ago, so that men and women might hear the preaching of his word. The people are without excuse in hearing the voice of God to their souls and of carrying out this responsible duty. But many are guilty of abusing this responsibility if they neglect the public means of grace, if they neglect the house of God. That responsibility of hearing God's voice stretches into the week as well as upon the Sabbath day. Every time the word is open, it is God's voice to be heard to your soul. Another way in which we can neglect this duty is by forsaking the narrow way of God's word and what he decrees and going back to the world. That very thought is found in the closing words of our text tonight, where you'll see at the end of verse 25, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, the last days in which we're in, those last days will be marked by those who turn their ears away from the truth. The same word is used. Or you remember tonight Judas, who repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver. What did he do? He returned it to the priests. The same word is used. And those who forsake God's commands are turning away from him. They're turning back to the world. They're turning back to the old swine troughs that they once were found at and from where the Lord in his mercy delivered them from. Not a great distance from that is the place where the word of God and his ways are abandoned altogether. And there is an acceptance of error instead of truth. And that is where there's total apostasy. For the word means a turning away. Do we not need to pray in particular that God in mercy will unstop the ears of the unconverted and so that they might hear the engrafted word of God, which is able to save their souls? I trust that you in this meeting will take heed, that you see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For there is this responsible duty. There is also in my text tonight a regal authority. We've looked at the opening challenge and what our duty is. But then note the closing words of our text. And if there is needed an additional incentive why you should make sure that you don't refuse him that speaketh, then here we have it. For it says in the closing part, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall but not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. The one who speaks is Christ. And to refuse him is to refuse the highest authority and power. For consider Christ, and we know that he came from heaven. The word reminds us that he was co-creator with the Father. Without him was not anything made that was made. In eternity past, he was with the Father, for the word was with God, and the word was God. When he prayed unto the Father in John 17, he speaks of the glory that he had with the Father and the unity that there is between the one and the other. And to that glory he would return after his death and after his resurrection. Heaven was his dwelling place. Why? Because he was the Son of God. And he was the only begotten of the Father. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman. And it was then that Christ was to leave the glory he had with the Father behind. And he was to take into his divinity and his deity our humanity, yet without sin. And he became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He took upon himself the form of our likeness, yet without sin. He came from heaven to do the will of him that sent him and to finish his work. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He had power on earth to forgive sins. That's what he proclaimed even that day where he healed the man sick of the palsy. And to the disciples ere he returned to heaven, he was to say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Let me ask you tonight, are you listening to the one who came from heaven? But understand also that he speaks from heaven. He's not only the Savior who was promised and prophesied to come to one day lay down his life on the cross, but the previous verses declares that he is the mediator of the new covenant. And the mediator is one who stands in between. And Christ is the one who stands in between a holy God and a sinful, erring people. There's no other through whom we can come and approach unto God by. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it is Christ who speaks with the authority of heaven upon his every word from the very portals of heaven to this very day. How does he speak from heaven, you might say? He does through his eternal Spirit. For he prayed to the Father that he might send another comforter, even the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit's work is to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And the Spirit does not speak of himself, but he testifies of Christ. He's a Spirit of truth. When the sinner is convicted of their sin, that's Christ speaking to their heart through his Spirit. When the Spirit of God shows you something in his word, that's Christ speaking from heaven to your soul. It's the Spirit that shows the sinner their undone state before a thrice holy God. It's the Spirit who shows where our sin has taken us to, even to that lost eternity. It's the Spirit who shows the only remedy for sin. The one who took the sins of all his people and bore them away in his own body on the tree. That is Christ speaking from heaven to your heart. And following conversion to Christ, the Spirit is the one who shall teach you all things and direct your steps. That's the Christ of heaven speaking from heaven through his word. Christ speaks to his people through the preaching of his word, through the means of grace, through the ordinances that he has left for his church. Wonder, has Christ been speaking to your heart today, sinner? He does so with regal authority, because he is the King that sits upon his throne tonight. You see, my text says, he speaketh from heaven. Isn't that a marvel? That God would speak from heaven to your soul. But note also that he is returning from heaven one day. And then he shall speak in judgment as the judge of all the earth. Christ has promised, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Christ is coming back in all power and glory. He came the first time in weakness. He came the first time in a little babe, born in that manger of a virgin. But the second time, he's coming back as King. He's coming back to reign supreme. He's coming back in all power and glory with his angels. And unto him the Father hath committed all judgment. I want you to turn with me back to John's Gospel and turn to John chapter 5, please. And you'll see those words for yourself. For it says there, John 5 and 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And I tell you, when the Lord returns as judge to gather up his own, the very dead shall then hear his voice. You turn over the page if you have the scriptures there. Look at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And that's talking about now. That's talking about now, the day of God's grace. That's in the present tense. Now is, when the Lord's voice is heard, and it's heard through the preaching of the gospel, and the voice of the Son of God is coming to your heart, and they that hear shall live. But look at verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. That's still future. That's the judgment day. The hour is coming. And the dead in Christ shall rise first to meet the Lord in the air. And those who would not hear Christ on earth through His gospel will stand before Him. And they'll stand before not a Savior to their souls, but a judge of their souls. If you consider the words of Revelation 20, in verse 11 and 12, and I saw, here's John what he writes, commanded to write about this. I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead. And they'll all stand before the King. They'll all stand before the judge of all the earth. I wonder which will it be for you. I beckon unto you to hear Christ who speaketh from heaven to your soul in the very gospel tonight, that you might heed His word, that you might heed His gospel invitation, and that you might be sure that you have an advocate with the Father and you have a Savior from all sin, so that when He returns, you'll not stand before Him as your judge, but He'll be your Savior. You see, my text speaks about a regal authority. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And hence the apostle would say unto your heart tonight, take heed, see that ye refuse not Him that speaketh. And just in case you didn't realize it, the one that speaketh from heaven. But you know, there's another truth here. And it is the rejecter's doom. The rest of the verse imparts something of what it will be like for the Christ rejecter. The one who refused to listen to the Christ of God. For the reader is drawn to consider those in the Old Testament, and then they're drawn to consider the much more that is found in our text. If there's a doubt in one's mind of what will happen if you continue to refuse Him that speaketh from heaven, then we have it illustrated in these words. See that ye refuse not Him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth. And that brings us to think of those who were guilty of this very thing. They would not hear the prophets. They would not hear those men that were sent from God. And the words of our text give us the verdict and give us their outcome. What does it say? It says, they escape not. That was true of Pharaoh. That was the doom for the Egyptians who would not listen to the voice of God, to God's servant Moses. Although God revealed Himself by the signs and the wonders in the land of Egypt, yet they still refused Him. And the message to the nation of Israel was this, that the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The time of God's speaking was over. Their overthrow was witnessed in the waters of the rivers of the Red Sea as the seas covered them and they sank as lead, even in the mighty waters. Their doom was certain. Why? Because they refuseth Him that speaketh. And then you might think of those in the wilderness. And they sinned against God by committing idolatry and by worshiping the golden calf. We've already alluded to it in our introduction. And they were put to the sword by those that were on the Lord's side. Or those who in unbelief listened to the majority report, who would not go into the promised land at Kadesh Barnea, their doom was also certain, for their carcasses fell in the wilderness and they did not enter into the promised land. Or maybe you think of those who sought to take upon themselves the office of priesthood who sought to offer incense who were not called to do so. Their doom was fearful as the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them, going down alive into the pit. Why? They refuseth him that speaketh. But you know, the Christ rejecter and their doom is also to be found in the New Testament. There are individuals in the New Testament that we might consider tonight. You come back to the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, you will find one spoken about there. He's Judas. And oh, Judas was a privileged man. Judas walked with the Lord 3 years and more. Judas heard this prince of preachers. Judas saw the miracles that Christ wrought. But Judas heard warnings time and time again, and yet he refuseth him that speaketh. You read with me Matthew 26 and the words of verse 24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas heard those words of the Savior. It would have been better for him if he had never been conceived. If he had never seen the light of this world, than to go and do what he was about to do in betraying the Lord. Verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. He was warned. Time and time again, and yet he refused him that speaketh. Ananias and Sapphira, among others, were to have a fearful doom as they both were carried out the same day, having conspired to tell lies against the Holy Ghost. And my dear friend, the rejecter's doom will be intolerable if there was no escape for those who refused him that spake in earth. Look at the text again. Much more. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. The much more shall there be for no escape for those who reject Christ. And he says he speaks from heaven. It was by the Lord Jesus that the everlasting fires of hell were most vividly depicted. He spoke more about hell than he ever did about the glories of heaven. He it was who spoke the plainest terms. He it was who spoke the most frequently of that fearful place where there is the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. If Christ was the one to most fully reveal God's love, he was also the one who most fully declared his wrath. He warned of hell. He warned of the doom, for the Christ rejecter would be intolerable in that place. The day of the wrath of the Lamb shall have come. And the cry of them that refuseth him that speaketh will be for the mountains and for the rocks to fall on them and to hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of the wrath of the Lamb has come, and who shall stand? What fearful words. Dear soul, am I preaching to you and you have rejected Christ? Understand that from this intolerable place, there will be no escape. Much more shall not we escape. Endless doom. Endless torments. In the place where there's no mercy. And there's no exit door. And there's no escape. Will you not then heed His word? Will you not then heed the invitation of the gospel that is extended to you from the one that speaketh from heaven tonight, the Christ who died, yea, rose again, and who is still the mighty deceiver? Let me ask you in closing, are you listening to God? See, take heed that ye refuse not Him that speaketh. May God help you to hear tonight, even to the salvation of your soul. And now, ere you go home, that you might come in repentance of your sin, you might turn by faith unto the Christ that we have upheld before you, uplifted before you, the one that died in that middle tree for a sinner just like you. And there He died for to pay the punishment for our sin. There He paid the punishment that we deserve in an eternal hell. And He paid it all. He cried, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. And friend, tonight I present to you again the Christ of Calvary, for that work was sufficient in that God raised Him again the third day, and He lives tonight in the power of an endless life. He's seated at God's right hand, and He's still the mighty to see it. Will you come? Will you heed His word? I pray that you will. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please, in closing. God is speaking to your soul tonight. We're here afterwards if you need us. God's servant for your sake. We'll gladly open the scriptures of truth to you. Point you to the Savior. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We do recognize, O God, the solemnity of it. And Lord, how that opening phrase would stand out, "See that ye refuse not Him that speaketh." O God, we pray that Thou might, in mercy, speak in the closing seconds of this meeting. That tonight, ere that soul would leave the house of God and go out into the night, and Lord, that they might seek the Lord while He may be found, that they might fall even before Thee in repentance of their sin and acknowledge Christ as Lord and as their Savior. I pray, Lord, for the working of God, the Holy Spirit, that Thou would convict of sin. Thou would trouble the soul tonight. Thou would take away any rest and peace until they make peace with God. Oh, Father, speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Have mercy on souls. God, we pray that Thou would add unto the church such as should be saved. Hear our prayer. Accept our thanks for Thy hand upon us today. Bless us as we part now for a little season. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name, for God's eternal glory. Amen.